pray about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the Word of God. To begin with, looking at the verse, Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. Today, I have given you the choice between life and death, between blessings and curses. Now, I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. Oh, that you would choose life, so that you and your descendants might live. Again, Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. Then looking in the book of Exodus chapter 1, beginning at verse 15. Then the king of Egypt spoke to the Hebrew midwives, of whom the name of one was Shipra and the name of the other Pua. And he said, when you do the duties of a midwife for the Hebrew women and see them on the birth stools, if it is a son, then you shall kill him. But if it is a daughter, then she shall live. But the midwives feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the male children alive. So the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said to them, why have you done this thing and saved the male children alive? And the midwives said to Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women, for they are lively and give birth before the midwives come to them. Therefore God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and grew very mighty. And so it was because the midwives feared God that he provided households for them. So Pharaoh commanded all his people, saying, every son who is born you shall cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive. Verses 15 through 22, Exodus chapter 1. Father, we thank you once again, Father, for your precious and powerful your word which is life. And thank you for the grace, the mercy, and the strength that rests in your word. Father, more and more empowers us, your church, to be a church that hears your word and lives your word. A church that stands boldly for that which your word calls us to stand boldly for, including the gospel of Jesus Christ, and for standing for life as well. Help us to recognize, Lord, that every human being was created directly by your hand, and each person is precious in your sight. Open our eyes, our ears, our hearts to understand your word, your will, and your perspective, your heart on this truth. We thank you, and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our producer is Rick Robertson. Rick is going to share a word of prayer with us at this time as well.
Father, we're thankful that we can look back on a time when you watched over us throughout our Christian life, how you've been such a wonderful, loving, patient, kind God to us. We pray for our listening family with all the needs out there. Father, we pray for those who are hurting because of sickness, those who are hurting because of relationship issues, those who are hurting because of financial problems. Meet them, meet their needs, Father. We just bring them to you today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Rick. We want to continue to remind our listeners that Judge Amy Coney Barrett is President Trump's Supreme Court nominee to fill the vacancy on the court left by Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Judge Barrett is scheduled to go before the Senate Judiciary Committee for a hearing during the week of October 12th. This is the same committee Judge Barrett went before in 2017 when her religious faith came under sharp attack. And Senator Lindsey Graham is the chairman of this committee. We're encouraging you to sign the petition at afa.net urging Senator Graham to immediately rule out of order any attack against Judge Barrett's religious faith. We hope that you'll take the time to do that. Again, to sign the petition, go to afa.net. Again, the website is afa.net. Hope you'll take time to do that. We are honored to have two very, very special guests in today, and one guest has been a long time since she's been on with us, but I'm grateful to have her back. My wife, Pastor Bertie Parker. Bertie, how are you this morning?
Good morning.
Good to have you once again.
Thank you.
Always an honor to have with us also Evangelist Herdacine Gorey of Night Watch Ministries. Evangelist Herdacine, how are you today?
I'm doing well today.
That's good. Great to have both of you with us today. And always an honor to have guests, but again, two very special guests, especially today. And I want to mention that as we start, in particular, Evangelist Herdacine, you have a letter that you received in the mail, And so we're going to talk about that in just a minute. But before we do, I want to ask if you'll take a moment specifically to tell our listeners a little bit about your ministry and what you do. And we'll tie your ministry to the letter in just a few minutes as well.
Yes, once again, my name is Hurdy Singh Gorey with the Night Watch Ministry. And the Lord have had us to branch out in so many different areas, especially since March. And the ministry started off working with post-abortive women and women who were hurt from misuse, hurt from childhood, hurt from just so many things. And then he added more men also to the group. And so often we just think about women's being hurt, but so many men's are being hurt also.
Right.
And we have post-abortive men's.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's right.
He added the men's there also. So I've been working with those, but during this pandemic, I really have been working with women, post-abortive women, and men's, and senior citizens. So the Lord have just called me to so many different areas, and I'm just thankful.
All right. And, of course, we have so many people that hurt in so many different ways in society. And Jesus, he can heal the hurts of everyone as people come to learn to submit to him and look to him for that healing. So we praise God for your ministry. I would mention, as I mentioned, I'm also, again, grateful to have my wife, Pastor Bertie Parker, with us today. And as I say, it's been a long time. But she and I work together in ministry. We pastor together. But also, we do pro-life ministry together as well. Bertie is a great part of our event that we sponsor from the American Family Association called A Festival for Life. And it's an event, it's a multimedia event that shares a biblical message about the need for the church to do at least two things. One is to aggressively come alongside and support the work of pregnancy clinics, but also challenging and encouraging the church to become boldly and aggressively involved in the cause of standing for life and against abortion. So again, Bertie, glad to have you with us today as well.
Thank you.
Evangelist Hurdy Singh, you have a letter that you were going to share. If you'll introduce, tell us a little bit about the letter, and then you're going to read the letter as well.
I believe it was 4 weeks ago I was on the program, I believe.
Okay.
And I was talking about, we were talking about post-abortive women, and we were talking about also senior citizens that feel so alone now, mm-hmm. and the different things and different people that have come to Christ on my front porch.
Mm-hmm.
And this man, that's like I said, been about 4 weeks ago,
mm-hmm.
and I received a letter in the mail Monday. And it was just so strange when I got it. It was on paper that looked like a bill.
Mm-hmm.
And but I opened it up, and it was on some type of little index paper that he had found. And it was addressed to Night Watch Ministry. And he said he was talking about his concern about abortion.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, "Dear disciple of Christ, I hope that you and your families are doing well in the love of the Messiah. I write as a voice of the unborn baby here in America. Many states, approximately 16, allow for abortion to allow babies who have survived an abortion attempt to simply cry themselves to death without medical staff rendering life-saving aid. In other states, approximately 22, the aborted babies are aborted up to 9 months. This is happening as we speak. This is happening as we speak. With all due respect, there are many Christian ministries operating across America. But who is more vulnerable than little baby girls scalded by cellulite alone, fighting for her life, or a 9-month baby boy? In the name of Jesus, please consider focusing the energy of Night Watch Ministry towards the infallible Holocaust of America that thus far have claimed over 60 million innocent lives. The CDC estimated approximately 1 million babies are aborted each year, and according to the Gullerin Institute, approximately 40% of those are black babies. And then he went on to say, please let your voice make a difference for the unborn babies. Hmm. And what was so amazing about this letter is, this man is an inmate mm-hmm. in prison
wow. mm.
that's crying out and saying he's the voice mm-hmm. for the unborn baby.
Mm.
And when I got this letter, my heart was just hurting.
Mm.
And it was just set on fire. And then I heard Jesus said to me, I was praying the mm-hmm. next day, and I was saying, Jesus, I love you.
Mm.
And I heard his reply. He said, if you love me, will you stand against man's approval for their rights, which are wrong?
Mm.
And mm. I hesitated. And I said, yes, Lord,
mm.
I will stand. And mm-hmm. it has been a burning in me ever since. That burning, just I have to tell someone, if this inmate is crying out for the unborn,
mm-hmm.
and I'm a Christian and leading a ministry,
yes.
what mm-hmm. is my responsibility?
That's right.
And mm-hmm. it's just like an aching in me. And then when I started reading 1 Kings, the 18th chapter, where Elijah said, how long will you limp between two opinions? Mm-hmm. If the Lord is God, serve him.
Mm-hmm.
If it's Baal, serve him. We mm-hmm. cannot be on both sides of the fence.
That's
when
right.
all these babies are dying needlessly.
Mm-hmm.
And not only that, the mothers and the fathers suffer so bad afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
They go through depression, they end up on drugs, they end up in promiscuous sex. It's so many things they end up in.
Mm-hmm.
And then so many feel as if they will never be able to have children because mm-hmm. the enemy have lied to them.
That's right.
This is the easiest way out. So just do it. And these women and men are suffering, they are crying until they finally accept Jesus' forgiveness of this.
Mm.
And then when God delivers them, then they're set free. So these are the people I'm working with, and now I'm a voice for the unborn.
Mm. Well, praise God. You know, it's powerful to consider the fact is, praise God for this young man who, though he happens to be an inmate in prison at the moment, he's using his voice. And God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, has allowed the message he sent to you to go across the airwaves today.
Exactly.
And praise God for that. And the reality is God will use anyone that will make themselves available to speak his truth, speak his word. God's word clearly says, choose life that you and your children may live. And so many other scriptures that clearly point out that abortion is against the will of God, taking the life of an innocent child. And we as the church are called to boldly stand against that. And so we're coming up on a break in just a few moments. But on the other side, I'm going to ask if all three of us can take time specifically to pray for the church to get involved. And we're going to look at some scriptures that speak to this issue as well. But we're going to pray that the church would wake up and get involved with this to get on the right side of the issue. Because God's word spells out very clearly. It says, thou shalt not murder. That's very clear. And so we'll be looking at other passages that point out clearly and powerfully the fact that we're called to boldly stand for life. So we'll take time to pray on the other side of the break. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. Again, I'm Pastor Joseph Parker, and we're going to be taking time to look at God's Word powerfully and clearly, what it says about the issue of life. We'll be right back.
A million different ways I gotta trust.
But there's only one decision: how to live, how to love Jesus, because you are God and you're the God of my choices. Speak to me and I will run to your voice. Here I am in the noise. Won't you lead me in my choices, my choices? I believe that faith is nothing if it isn't everything. Every heartbeat, every moment, whatever this day brings, this song I will sing. You are God and you're the God of my choices. Speak to me and I will run to your voice. Here I am in the noise. Won't you lead me in my choices, my choices?
Music of J.J. Weeks, the song Choices. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. The Word of God tells us once again, Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19, today I've given you the choice between life and death, between blessings and curses. Now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. Oh, that you would choose life so that you and your descendants might live. As we begin this segment, I'm going to ask you, my wife Bertie will begin to pray, specifically pray for the church, that the church would be stirred to wake up and to be the loud, strong, and bold voice that God is calling them to be. And anything else on your heart to pray for? And then Evangelist Hurtesine, if you'll pray whatever's on your heart as it relates to the same matter as well, please.
Heavenly Father, we come this morning once again. We come praising you. We come thanking you for all that you have done, all that you're doing, and all that you're about to do. Father, we pray, God, for the Church of the Living God to rise up, stand for truth. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus, oh God, that we will speak truth and life according to your word. We thank you for who you are, God. God, you are a merciful God.
Yes.
And Father, we repent. We repent of just being silent when the time we should have been speaking.
Yes.
Lord, your word tells us in Proverbs 31, 8 and 9, open your mouth for the speechless in the cause of all who are appointed to die.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
Open your mouth. Judge righteously.
Thank you, Lord.
And plead the cause of the poor and needy. We need you, dear God,
thank you,
to help us to stand boldly for
thank
life.
You. Yes, Lord.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And Jesus, you asked me,
thank you,
if I loved you.
Thank you.
Would I stand against man's approval with man's rights against what's wrong? And Father, I hesitated and I said yes. Lord, I need your strength to stand, to speak for the innocent, to speak for the ones that can't speak for themselves.
Yes.
It's our responsibility as Christians to protect the ones who can't protect themselves, who can't speak for themselves. And Lord, right now, I want you and asking you to touch Eric in a special way. I thank him for lighting a fire within my spirit to stand up boldly as a voice in the church, Lord, to say, no more. Lord, turn it around. No more. Because these lives can't speak for themselves. They are innocent, Lord, and it's our responsibility as the church to say, no more.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Life over death. Life over death. And I thank you right now, Holy Spirit. And Jesus, I give you praise. I give you praise for your forgiveness, Lord.
Thank you.
When we repent of this sin, Lord.
Yes, God.
I thank you, Jesus, right now, Father. Amen.
Amen. And Father, I thank you for the privilege you give each of us of being witnesses and ambassadors for your kingdom, believers who can represent you and represent your heart on any and all the issues you've called the church to represent you for. And Lord, especially as it relates to the issue of life. Father, you see each baby as a precious baby made in your image, and you had a special design for each and every one of them. You have a special design for everyone that you create. And Lord, what a tragedy it is that other individuals that you made in your image take it upon themselves to decide whether or not some would live and some would die. Lord, touch your church. Open our eyes to see, Lord, that you are God. Every child is created precious in your sight and in your image, and we are to stand for life. Lord, there's so many in the body of Christ that say they love you, yet sadly, many of them are on the wrong side of this issue. As we face an upcoming election, many people act like they don't care about the babies. Open their eyes to see, Lord, that you're calling every believer to stand up for what is right, to stand up for life, to stand for you. Father, we think of the powerful and the great example of these precious two ladies, Shipra and Pua, in Exodus 1, who even in a very difficult situation, when probably what would be considered the most powerful king in the world, human king in the world at that day, gave them a clear order to kill the baby boys. But the word clearly says they feared you. They put your word first, and they refused to do what your word, they refused to do what Pharaoh said because they believed in you and stood on your word. Even not knowing the consequences, even knowing that potentially they could be put to death for disobeying the king. But Lord, you used them and you blessed them because they obeyed you and honored you. Help us to know, Lord, that you're calling the whole church to have the same kind of courage and obedience that Shipra and Pua had, to stand for your word, to stand for truth, and not be swayed by politics, by culture, by lies, but we hear your word and we stand for what your word calls us to do. Stir your church to be the obedient church you've called us to be, and help us to boldly speak out for life. We thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Again, you're listening to the Hour of Intercession. Again, I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We have in studio with us my wife, Pastor Bertie Parker, Evangelist Hurtis Ngori of Night Watch Ministries as well. And we're looking specifically at the topic of God's call to the church to stand boldly for life. And Evangelist Hurtis, what would you say to pastors and leaders in the church that are listening today? What word of encouragement would you share with them about this?
I'm weeping. I'm weeping so because you see a life that can't even take care of himself.
That's right.
And as you were praying, I started seeing that Jesus put himself in Mary's womb. A prime example that someone was trying to snatch him out when they were trying to kill all the children.
That's right.
So we know it's a plan and a plot of the enemy.
That's right.
And to every pastor, to every Christian, to everyone that said that you love Jesus, prove it. Prove it. As he asked me, are you willing to stand? I hesitated Because then he starts showing me my own heart. Mm-hmm. Just like when he told that someone was going to betray him.
Mm-hmm.
All the disciples then know what was in their hearts.
That's right.
Is it in my heart that I would do it? So is it in your heart that you would approve of it?
Mm.
What's in your heart? Will you stand with Jesus?
Mm.
Will you stand on the right side? Because when we stand with Jesus, we look beyond what man says is right and choose what God says is right. And I'm weeping. I have been weeping for the last week. I just see these innocent babies that no one cares for.
That's right.
So many mothers don't even know that their child survived and left there to cry his or herself to death.
Mm.
They don't even realize that they left their child there because they were lied to that it was a success when it wasn't a success. This child still lived, but someone was so heartless that you would let a baby cry itself to death.
Mm-hmm.
And then we as Christians say that it's okay, it's not okay.
Mm-hmm.
And it's left up to each one of us to say, no more.
That's right.
These lives matter. No more.
And you know, Evangelist Hurtison, I think of this, that I'm going to share this, and then Bertie's going to share some scriptures that lay out clear direction and counsel from God's Word about how God sees life. But I think of this, that I've shared this on a number of occasions, but there was an instance where Bertie was doing a children's message to a group of children, and it's a reminder that even children recognize the tragedy of abortion. She wasn't talking about that. She was talking about, she asked the kids, what are you thankful for? And I think it was around Thanksgiving, I believe she said. And they said, I'm thankful for my family, my home, the normal things. But then two little boys, both of them probably younger than 8 years of age, said, I'm thankful my mama didn't abort me. So even these small children knew what the tragedy of abortion was and were grateful that they were alive, because their mom chose to keep them. But those same boys probably knew that adults keep some children and adults kill some children. And they might have known a brother, a cousin, a friend who wasn't here because of the tragedy of abortion. So at this time, Bertie, if you would share just some passages from God's Word that give us clear direction about God's perspective on life.
Sure. These are foundational scripture on life. And the first one is Proverbs 24:11-12. And it says, deliver those who are drawn toward death, and hold back those stumbling to the slaughter. And if you say, surely we did not know this, does not he who wastes the hearts consider it? He who keeps your soul, does he not know it? And he will not render to each man according to his deeds. Jeremiah 1:4-5 tells us that every life has purpose. Then the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you.
Mm-hmm.
Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. And John 10:10 tells us, that is the thief. It's the thief that does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. And Jesus says that I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. And so God is laying out foundational word for the church.
Mm-hmm.
And if the church teaches and stand for righteousness, then that will lead way for the world to bow their knees.
Mm-hmm. Very much so. You know, I think of this too, like one of the Ten Commandments says, you shall not murder. Very plain and very to the point. And an additional scripture, Proverbs 31:8-9. Well, I'm sorry, you read that one, but I'm going to read it again. Proverbs specifically says, deliver those who are drawn toward death and hold back those stumbling to the slaughter. If you say, surely we did not know this, does not he who weighs the heart consider it? He who keeps your soul, does he not know it? And will he not render to each man according to his deeds? Then Proverbs, and that was, of course, Proverbs 24:11-12 that you did read. And then another one, Proverbs 31:8-9. Open your mouth for the speechless in the cause of all who are appointed to die. Open your mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy. And one of the challenges we want to really just lay before every listener is that God can use everyone. Mm-hmm. Everybody's voice can help make a difference as you speak out and stand for what you know the Word of God clearly calls us to do. Even children. God can use children to speak life. You know, there are many a young woman that was in high school that told her peer who was found herself pregnant at a difficult time, the encourager to keep that baby. Don't take that baby's life. And many high school girls have helped save babies because they were courageous enough to tell their peers who were pregnant, don't take the life of that baby. God can use every available voice. This young man in prison spoke out, and God's using his voice wonderfully. You're listening to the Hour of Intercessions as we're looking at the topic of God's call to boldly stand for life. Our in-studio guests are my wife, Bertie Parker, and evangelist Herdasine Gori. We'll be right back.
Perfect. Other days it just ain't working. The good, the bad, the right, the wrong, and everything in between. Yo, it's crazy, amazing. We can turn our heart through the words we say. Mountains crumble with every syllable. Hope can live or die. So speak life. Other days my thoughts just fall apart. I do, I don't, I will, I won't. It's like I'm drowning in the deep. Well, it's crazy to imagine words from my lips as the arms of compassion. Mountains crumble with every syllable. Hope can live or die. So speak life. You say, raise your thoughts a little higher. Use your words to inspire. Joy will fall like rain when you speak life with the things you say. Lift your head a little higher. Spread the love like fire. Hope will fall like rain when you speak life with the words you say. So speak life.
Toby Mack, Speak Life. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our in-studio guests today are my wife, Pastor Bertie Parker, and evangelist Herdasine Gori. And today we're looking at the topic specifically of God's call to the church to boldly stand for life. And, you know, I'm going to ask just both Bertie and Evangelist Hurtesine, if you have thoughts about this. But I go back once again to the passage that deals, that we read, Exodus chapter 1, verses 15 to 22 of Shipra and Puah, two wonderful examples of courageous followers of God standing for what they knew to be right. And I tell you, before we get further into that, though, Van just heard us saying, you know, something I want to mention. You know, the Bible tells us this. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, we probably have many people that are listening now, women and men, who've already gone down the road of abortion. And right now, they're hurting. They recognize the mistake that they made, and they feel bad. And sadly, as you mentioned, sometimes you have people that who've gone down the road of abortion that they deal with depression, sometimes every year around the time of when the baby would have been born. Sometimes people hear babies in the night. Sometimes there's people that can't sleep because of it. And some even become suicidal, sadly, after they've gone down the tragic road of abortion. And they're desperately in need of the forgiveness and the healing that only Jesus can give to them. Would you both pray for them and then tell our listeners, if they want to get in touch with you or your ministry, how they could do that? But would you pray for them first, yes, please?
Once again, Lord Jesus, we come before you right now. Just, Father, you know exactly whose heart is heavy. You know exactly the one that's still beating up on themselves over the mistake that they made. And Father, you also know that a lie was told to each one of these individuals.
Yes,
the lie that it's not a life when a child is conceived. It has to be so old,
yes,
before it's a life. And Lord, right now, with each individual that's listening right now, Lord Jesus, let them know that you are running them down to sing over them, to give them peace. Peace in the storms. And that you have forgiven each one of them, because there's nothing above what you did on the cross. Comfort them. Keep them in your care, Lord Jesus. And I thank you right now, Father. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And, you know, again, I think Shipra and Puah are such great examples of courage in the Bible. And, you know, of course, not just Old Testament, Old and New Testament. For believers today, there are many believers who would just take the same kind of courage that they used to stand up, and God will use them mightily today. Because sadly, amongst people that say they love the Lord, there's a lot of cowardice out there. People that won't speak up because they're afraid, they're concerned about what people say about them, or maybe they think, well, nobody else is talking about it, why should I? Well, the fact is, if God has told us, if a million other people refuse to stand up, you can stand up, because God can take one person and change the world through that one person's courageous voice. And just like this young man who sent you that letter, again, he probably had no idea how God would use the message he shared to touch the world.
You know, the song that when my children was growing up, it only take a spark to get a fire going.
Mm-hmm.
It only takes a spark. I have dealt with post-abortive women for years.
Mm-hmm.
But this one spark, even my city was misspelled. He put Wellington when it's Nellerton.
Oh, okay.
But it got... It got to me.
Mm-hmm.
God is so amazing how he uses things for his purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And this is one of the sparks that have set a fire in me.
Mm-hmm.
Because too many are suffering.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Too many lives are lost. And, you know, so often someone, when someone have had an abortion, then someone would say they don't know what to say. In a conversation, they might say, you know, whoever that person was, they killed that baby. They committed murder. Well, it's a way to speak anything. We have to confront a person, deal with a person in love.
In love. Mm-hmm. Speak the truth in love.
In love.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Because we can, I've used this term, we can drive the dagger deeper.
That's right.
Want these people to be free, to know, yes, it's a mistake made. Yes, I have made a mistake. Yes, I have stumbled in the past. It might not have been an abortion, but it was something else, and God has forgiven me.
Right.
Just like he will forgive you. But it takes time to keep ministering to these young ladies and young men to let them know, yes, it was a mistake made, but I have made a mistake also. Mm-hmm. Look at the mistake that David made. Look at the mistakes that Moses made. Mm-hmm. Look at the mistakes that Paul made. But God used them in a mighty way. Mm-hmm. But we can't sit in church and say, Jesus, we love you. Oh, we magnify you. We glorify you. Mm-hmm. Well, if you magnify him and you glorify him, do his will.
That's right.
And do it right.
Get up and do what God is calling you to do, to be a voice.
Exactly.
Be a voice. And I think of this, and again, also Birdie and Evangelist Hurtasine, if y'all want to jump in, feel free to do that. But, you know, I think of this, that sometimes a believer might think, well, I don't really see what difference my voice would make. Well, keep in mind, every believer has the Holy Spirit inside of them. And every act of obedience makes a difference in building God's kingdom. Absolutely everyone, even if, you know, some things we do, lots of people may know about it. But some things we do, nobody but God may know about it. But the reality is God will always use obedience. I think of this, for example, going back to Shipper and Pew again, God used them. And some might think, well, Pharaoh just changed his tactics. Well, that's true. But they saved the lives of all the boys that they saved until Pharaoh changed his tactics. And he had to change his tactics because they didn't cooperate with him, you know. But also, probably Shipra and Peor were used by God to save the life of a little boy named Moses. Also, God used a little mother named Jochebed to help save the life of a little boy named Moses. God used Miriam to help steer him to a place of safety. And God used even Pharaoh's daughter. So God used five women, probably to help save the life of little Moses, who was used by God to be the deliverer of the children of Israel. God will use any and all of us if we simply courageously decide, I'm going to do what's right, and I'm available for God to use me any way he wants to use me.
And I'm thinking about what you just said. Your voice, by using you, is the one that touched this young man.
Praise God.
If I hadn't have been on this broadcast, he would have never heard. He would have never responded. He would have never written this letter. And I did a video about abortion and about what he had said and about what the Holy Spirit had asked me. If I would stand for him. And I put it on Facebook. And one of my former students saw it. And he sent me a message and he said, oh, this is just so good. Thank you. I said, good, share it. He shared it. This young man does music on Facebook and he has over a million followers that follow his music. He posted it on his page.
Praise God.
And it have skyrocketed.
Praise God.
One
Praise the Lord.
Word, just Praise what Lord. You said. One act. Because he can use any of us in any type of way. And he made this comment. He said, she was my teacher and my sister's teacher. And she have always been a very kind and godly lady. What you see with this smile is what she have always been. And it just started taking off. It have been shared more than any video I have ever put out there. Because God used this young man. He can That's use powerful. Any of us.
That's right. That's right. Just available vessels. I've on a number of occasions, I've shared a story that Birdie shared with me, too, about how that she was in a phone, a tragic story, actually, but she met a young lady who was in a phone store who'd had an abortion.
Yes.
And sadly, her story was, and here's where it's important for us to understand, this is why we have to stand up for what's right, because you see, the lies out there will mislead so many people. People say abortion, it's a woman's choice. Well, see, so often, it's really not even a woman's choice, because in this case, this young lady, she'd gotten pregnant by her boyfriend, and she thought he'd be happy, but after she told him, he, without saying a word, he took her and threw her against the wall and said, you will get an abortion. And she did what he said. Now, keep in mind, initially she was happy about it, but the fact is, that doesn't sound like a woman's choice to me. And the reality is, you know, people need to know that it's actually against the law for somebody to coerce a woman to get an abortion if they don't want to get one. But sadly, lots of people don't know the law, and they do it anyway. So that's important.
you just said that I'm so thankful you brought this up,
mm-hmm.
because it's not their choice. Mm-hmm. I have dealt with many mothers who told their daughters they had to get an abortion, mm-hmm. and the mothers are suffering along with the children.
That's right.
I have even carried the mother through the post-abortive class.
Hmm.
Because they were suffering. So, and not only that, the daughter started pulling away from the mother, and they lost that mother and daughter relationship there.
That's sad.
So it's so many things that the enemy takes and just to destroy a family, destroy a life. He doesn't care.
That's right.
So no, it's not. Well, this is the thing. They say it's a woman's choice. What about the baby's choice?
That's right.
That's the bottom line.
I'm going to share the words. Our time is almost gone. I'm going to share the words of a song a man wrote who his girlfriend aborted the baby. He wanted her to keep it, but she refused, and she went ahead and aborted the baby. But he was terribly hurt, went through depression. But he wrote a song after his son was aborted. And these are the words of the song. I only want to live. Can't you hear my call? My voice is very weak because I am so small. They say that I must go. They say that I must die. Can't you see my tears? Can't you hear my cry? I only want to live. Won't you hear my call? My voice is very weak because I am so small. Hmm. And God has used that song to touch people in some wonderful ways too. But again, just as our time closes today, we're challenging and encouraging every believer to listen to the Spirit of God and ask God, Lord, what can I do? To be a voice, to speak up and to speak out and to stand against the tragedy of abortion. And yes, it includes the way you vote, because again, voting for someone that supports abortion is against the will of God. It includes the way you pray, what you stand up for. All of these are important, important issues then. So, but thank you so much, Birdie and Evangelist Herdesine, for being with us today and for being voices on the radio for God's glory.
Tears on a ray of day.
Amen. Thank you all for being with us.
And
thank you for being a part of our listening family. And again, we're hoping that you will listen to God about how God wants to use you to stand for life and against the tragedy of abortion as well. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.